Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
The Grant and Danny radio program is exclusively sponsored by the law firm Condori & Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com. And be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Danny, things got heated during the break.
I've never seen anything like that.
Heated.
We've been doing this show together for, I don't remember what year it is. It's like 10, 11, whatever. Point is, a long time. I don't remember that happening. There was one time where there was like a real honest-to-goodness fight that our boss had to come in and like separate everybody, which is normal. It happens. We'll tell you the story sometime when you see us in person. I've never seen that before in my life. That was a sports conversation. It started about Jared Goff. Ben Johnson was involved. Seven people in that studio right now shouting each other, cursing. I've never seen that.
There was a lot happening.
Yeah.
Let's get to the Rude guest hotline. Rude. The most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and get you the interview that people have been waiting for since the breakout performance from Jacory Kroski Merritt. Bill is on the line with us. After his first 100-yard game, he went for 111 on the ground, and he ended up with 39 as a receiver, hitting the 150 mark for the game for the Commanders this weekend. Bill, what a performance.
What's up, dude?
Two touchdowns. Congratulations on the breakout.
Thank you so much.
We've been saying feed Bill. They finally did it, and you made them pay and made them look good. What did you think of the performance, and how many texts did you have on the phone when you got back to the locker room?
I think it was pretty solid. I think it was a good work week. And, I mean, shout out to my team for, I mean, just – letting this happen.
How many texts when you got back to your phone? Were people blowing you up?
Definitely. Yeah, it was going crazy.
Coming into the game, what kind of looks did you think you were going to get? And was there anything surprising at all that it was maybe easier sledding than you thought? Just what was your thought process going into the game?
Oh, I'm like, I treat it like any other week. I mean, just going in and just giving my all every day. I mean, just being a pro, and I mean, I know like that's enough itself, and like everything else to take care of itself on Sunday. So,
Jacory Kroski Merritt with us on Grant and Danny's weekly 5 p.m. appointment. If you want to talk to Bill, if you got a question for Bill, if you want to compliment him on his performance, you can call us now. We'll get you on the line with him in this segment at 800-636-1067. He said he's willing to chat with our listeners and Commanders fans around the region, 800-636-1067. We'll get to some listener questions in just a few minutes. Bill, did you know going into the game, like this was the first time you got all the carries basically and that your workload was up to 50% of snaps. Was that known before the game started, or was this a ride the hot hand situation where it just played out that way?
It definitely wasn't known. It was just, it was just, treat like any other week. I didn't know what to expect, but I mean, whenever my number was called, I just knew I wanted to be ready and just do whatever to help this team win.
When did you feel like it was gonna you were rolling that day? Like, does it, like after the first couple of carries, is it, you know, kind of pregame? Like, when did you know that yesterday, or that not yesterday, but 2 days ago now, was gonna be special?
I'll say after the first couple of carries, when I just get the feeling it a little bit. So I'll say like after the first couple of carries.
Right now, this moment, through 5 weeks, you're leading the NFL in yards per attempt. You're leading the NFL in rushing yards over expected per run. You're leading the NFL in rushing success rate, a bunch of different numbers. I mean, you're a big fan of studying running backs. Are you on NFL.com looking up stats and looking up the numbers right now? Like, what do you make of the success that you've had? 6.6
no,
yards
I'm,
per
I'm
carry.
Definitely not. I'm definitely not looking it up, but I mean, I see it on social media, but I mean, I feel like it's just the beginning. Like, I can't be satisfied with those numbers. I just gotta treat like any other week. Just come in and have the same mentality and like just want to win at the end of the day. So I just gotta stay level and stay focused.
Ja'Cory Cross-Kimmerett with us here. Usual spot, 5 o'clock on Tuesdays here on Grant and Danny. So that win was big. I mean, going out west, that's tough travel.
It was.
And yeah, and you guys went out there a day early. Just what did that win mean to you and this team coming home 3-2?
It meant a lot. I mean, that's always the goal. It was a business trip. We know what we had to do to take on a great team like the Chargers. And I mean, it was just good to be out there with our boys just playing our football and just having fun at the same time.
Did you know when you were closing in on 100, was anybody letting you know, like, hey, you need X number of more yards? Because the carry you got over 100 was the last one, and then they took you out and put somebody else in. Was it like a countdown at that point, or wasn't no?
Not really. We just going with the plan. If I would have had 99 and we won, I would have still been happy. So, I mean, it was just how the game was set up. It wasn't like a plan, like you get 100 and come out. It just all just happened in a perfect way.
Ja'Cory Cross-Kimmerett with us on Grant and Danny, talking to Bill after he goes for a hundo for the first time in his career. So you had two touchdowns, walk-in, weren't touched. Pretty amazing blocking. By the way, 59 mm-hmm. yards before contact for you in this game, the most of the season, which is indicative of the line, to your point, doing a nice job. I do want to ask you, what happened on the fumble play? Did you have that ball? Or was it kind of slipping already? What happened there?
It was just bad football by me. I just got to be better in that situation, and that's it. Basically, just got to be better in that situation, and you know, and just play better. Just take care of the football better. Basically,
I thought I saw DQ talking to you on the bench after that. When he comes mm-hmm. over, or when your teammates come over, are they just uplifting you and being positive, or is he scolding you? Like, what are they saying?
Nah, definitely being positive. Because we had a lot more football to play, and I mean, stuff happens in football, and it's like all about like how you move on and like and that was just telling me like don't let it like ruin things going forward. You just gotta push through . Those guys gave me a number of good words on the sideline.
What was the vibe like when you guys were down 10-0 in this game? Chargers are driving, right? It looks like they're almost in the red zone, look like they're about to get some more points, and all of a sudden that turnover happened. So take me through that. What was the vibe like on the sideline and kind of in huddles and stuff when you guys were down? And then once that fumble that Quan Martin and company forced, what was the vibe like then?
It was like, man, we just gotta pick it up. We know what we gotta do to score points, and we just basically gotta execute. And like when that moment happened, we was like, okay, like defense gave us a ball, like we gotta do something with it. And from that point on, I think we started to click on offense.
So Bill, I think I had if one person sent this to me, like 20 people sent me your interview with Tom Brady after the game. And you're just beaming the
so
entire
cool,
time.
Dude.
And
I was starstruck. I ain't gonna lie.
So that was what it seemed to me like. You were like, oh my God, I'm talking to Tom Brady. That's really what was happening.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. One of the great players who'd have played this game, and like it kind of caught me off guard when they was like, I'm gonna be speaking to him. So I mean, I couldn't stop smiling.
So did they come over, and they were like, hey, we want you to go on with Tom, put the headset on. Could you see him in a monitor or no?
Yeah, I could.
So that, I mean, it just, that's, you've watched him your whole
life?
Yeah,
it was like we was on FaceTime. They had a big screen.
So what was that like for you?
It was definitely exciting and like something I'll forever remember.
If you guys haven't seen the video, you got to go check it out.
It's so cool. Is that the guy, Bill, that you'd probably be the most starstruck by, or somebody else that you would just sort of be grinning at the whole time?
Maybe just, I think it was him.
Yeah.
It was him. Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's take some listener questions for Bill. We'll start with Edward, who's in L.A., I believe. Edward, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, over the Redskins. Hey, I'm doing great. This is Edward, born and raised Washingtonian. Bill, I was at the game. I saw you do everything. Amazing. My one question for you is, who's your favorite teammate or teammates to hang out with outside of your work life?
Outside of my work life, I think the running backs, we have pretty cool dinners. So all of the running backs, Chris, Jeremy, all those guys. The O-linemen, they're pretty funny too, but I would say, I mean, that's kind of a hard question. I want to say so many names right now, but I mean, they all cool to hang out with.
I want to know about the running back dinners. You guys go out and just like the same night every week and get steak and you go credit card roulette or something, or who picks up the tab? How does that work?
So we go to this spot and we actually, Jeremy actually know the owner. So, I mean, he just hooked us up.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I haven't got the rookie dinner, tab yet, but I mean, I'm pretty sure it's coming. So I mean, whenever they ready, we can go get something to eat.
Yeah, they're gonna run that tab up on you. You heard about some of the pranks? I don't remember which team it was, but like a year ago, they brought this kid a bill, and it was for like $37,000 or something.
See, $37,000 is crazy.
But they put it in front of him. Oh my god. And he was like sweating bullets, and it turned out it was not the
real
bill.
And it was fake, yeah.
They just faked
it. Nah, that can't be right. Like, that's like OD.
Let's go to Charles in Waldorf on Grant and Danny. Charles, you're talking to Bill after his 100-yard game. What's up?
Hey, Grant and Danny. Hey, Bill. Great game, man. Continued success. Hey, listen, I would like to know, because I love your running style. I love it. In my mind, I compare you to a lot of running backs, but I'd like to know, who do you compare yourself to or model yourself to when you're running?
That's a good question. Thank you, Charles.
Who would I compare myself to? I mean, this might be a stretch, but Barry Sanders, that's my favorite running back. I just like how he plays, and I mean, that's kind of who I like to watch a lot.
Would you say you patterned yourself after him, Bill? Like studied him and
I wouldn't say I patterned myself after him, but I just like the way he played, and like, I mean, I kind of look at some of his moves, but I mean, it's a long shot. He's one of the greatest, but I love his game. So I would say that's who I watch the most.
That's such a good
one. I don't know who I compare my game to, if I'm being honest.
So I was listening today. One of our shows on the Odyssey family here was talking about like the back that Bill reminds them of. And one of the producers said Dalvin Cook. And a lot of people like that. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that comp?
Nah, that's definitely a good comp. He's a great player. I like how he played for sure. I mean, I like how Gills played.
Jameer.
A lot.
Yeah, you told us. That's one of your favorite guys to study.
Yeah, I like Jameer.
Let's go to Shane in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Shane, you're on with Bill. What's up?
What's up, Shane?
Hey thanks, guys. Hey, Bill, first of all, thank you for being on this football team. Glad we drafted you. I followed your career in college. Big Tennessee fans, hoping you transfer to University of Tennessee, but you were to Arizona instead. But you know what? You're making this team a whole lot better, so thank you, man. And my question is this for you, man. Our franchise quarterback, how is he as a leader in the locker room, and how is he around the team off the field and around you guys? Is he involved in everything? And just how is he as a person in the locker room? And I appreciate you.
Appreciate you, Shane.
Involved in everything. Down-to-earth quarterback. Hang with anybody on the team. And, I mean, he's great on and off the field. He's just not on the field. I mean, he's around the locker room, like, bonding with everybody. So, I mean, everybody's connected on this team. And he's just an all-around good person.
How hard is it to do some of those things when you're injured? And, you're not just him, but think of, like, Noah Brown or Terry McLaurin or some of these guys that have a lot of deposits, Bill, where they've been good here for a really long time. How hard is that to still kind of feel like you're part of it, even though you're, like, off to the side with the trainer and stuff?
No, we still – I mean, everybody's still in the locker room together. We're still talking. knowing it's a long season and guys will be back. So, like, I don't think no one feels left out. I mean, of course, they're, like, itching to get back out there with us. But, I mean, we all know we got each other back.
Let's go to Dan in Fairfax wants to hop in and ask Bill a question. Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt every Tuesday at 5 p.m. on Grant and Danny coming off a 150-yard game to fuel Washington in L.A. What's up, Dan?
Hey, I really enjoyed watching Bill play. I loved his running style. And, Bill, they already asked the question I was going to ask, but you kind of remind me of LaDainian Tomlinson or if you want to go old school, Larry Brown. So, I really appreciate you, man. I love your interview Tom Brady did. So, thanks a lot.
No, I appreciate it. I got a lot of work to get up to those names you just named, but I appreciate that comparison.
Hey, sure. Bill, I want to know about your chain, the Bill chain that you were wearing, the necklace, walking into the stadium. Is that a new purchase, or have you had that for a while?
It's kind of old and new.
How long?
I had it for a couple months.
Okay. So maybe for this football season.
So it's new to us.
Have you seen it, Danny?
I have not, no.
It's basically the size of, it probably goes from like his chest to his chin, and it says Bill. It just, I assume it's diamonds. I don't know, but it is a good-looking necklace. You might not want to wear that one while you're playing, though.
Oh, nah, not that one. I'd be mad if somebody ended up snatching that one.
Aqib Talib or somebody does the thing where they rip the necklace.
That would be so annoying. What was the hardest part about the travel, going all the way across the country?
I'd say just getting back at a super late time. But, I mean, it was all worth it. It's just part of the process. You got to enjoy everything. And, like, we know, like, it was a business trip going all the way across the world. And, like, I mean, you just got to embrace things that come with the game. So it was a pretty cool trip. It just, I mean, I hate getting back super late. But, I mean, it was all worth it. And, like, the experience was great.
Was Cousin fired up to see you after a few days away?
Oh yeah, definitely. I have a cousin, a babysitter, and when I get home, he go crazy.
There you go. All right, 150 yards from scrimmage. So these are the new bars that we got to clear again. So 16 touches and 150 all purpose. That's what we're
pretty darn good, dude.
We got to clear that moving forward. Well done, Bill. Thank you for the time.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, congratulations, man. Job well done.
All right, thank you.
There's Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, who's about to win another Rookie of the Week award, I think, in the National Football League.
I challenge you to not root for that guy. I challenge you to not love him and root against him. I challenge you.
Our sweet prince.
Just the greatest.
He's like, yeah, I was pretty starstruck. I was talking to Tom Brady.
He's like, yeah, dude, it's Tom Brady.
Seventh round pick to being interviewed by Tom Brady on the field after scoring a couple touchdowns.
Just a couple of late round picks chopping it up after a football game.
Jaden Daniels is 20 games in. He set an NFL record this weekend. We'll tell you what he did next.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thanks to Jacori Kroski-Merritt for joining us, our weekly Tuesday appointment at 5 p.m. with him. We're going to get into Jaden Daniels and the record he set through the first 20 games of his NFL career in just a moment. Quick peek at the NFC East standings. Washington one back of Philadelphia after the Eagles lost to the Broncos this week. 4-1 Philly, 3-2 Washington, and then the Cowboys 2-2-1. Thank goodness for that tie. The Giants 1-4. Let's go around the NFC East from this past weekend and dip into the games that were played by the rivals within the East. The Philly loss 21-17 to Denver was kind of the reverse of much of their season.
It felt inevitable to me. Maybe not this week, but at some point, the luck that they'd been, you know, the horseshoes that they'd been carrying in their tuchus would just expire and they would drop one.
Well, all year long, they've kind of stolen games too.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. They led 17-3. They were up by 14 in the fourth quarter. And J.K. Dobbins, two-yard run caps, a 64-yard scoring drive, made it a one-point possession game. Then the Broncos get the ball back with 7:35 to go in the fourth quarter, and they go on a 72-yard drive. They get a two-point conversion. They take the lead 18-17. Eagles immediately give the ball back to them, and they're able to salt it away with a field goal from Will Lutz on a 50-yard drive. So the defense just really let down in the final quarter, second half. Bo Nix played really well on the road in a hostile place, 242 and a score for him, and they ran the ball well enough. J.K. Dobbins, about 80 yards on 20 carries. Cortland Sutton, a lot of trashing Cortland Sutton around here when he got his contract, if you remember, because of Terry comparisons. He's had a really good year, 8 for 99. He's a workhorse for
just
them.
Just a good player, yeah.
He's their wide receiver one, pretty unequivocally. But a four-point win, Denver needed it badly to get to 3-2. And for the Eagles, as you said, it just felt like you paid the piper a little bit for some of the luck in the first few weeks.
Yeah, they've been fortuitous, to put it kindly. They're 4-1, have outscored opponents by, you know, not very much when you kind of look at it, and they've escaped a couple of times. Again, you give them credit because they found a way to win games without having their A game going. Their offense just still doesn't quite look like the Eagles' offense that was that unstoppable symphony of things, right? Where if you decided to load up the box against Barkley, it's A.J. Brown or it's Devontae Smith. If you decided to deal with that, then it was Barkley right down your gullet for hours at a time. And then you can add in the Goddards of the world and some of the other, you know, really good play designs and things that made those guys look good. So the overall numbers for Jalen Hurts, 280 yards and a couple of touchdowns, good quarterback rating, etc. But they slung it way more than you would think. They probably could have run it a little bit more. Who knows what the game plan was going against Denver, but that was a game they probably should have won that they didn't versus a couple games they should have lost, but they did.
The Cowboys are not a pushover. They're not very good because their defense is dreadful, but they are going to move the ball and score points on you. A week after overtime, 40 points, tie game with Green Bay, they scored 37 more against the Jets. They've now scored 37 or more in three games this season under Brian Schottenheimer, so give him some credit. They had a receiver I've literally never heard of go for 114 yards this week on six catches without CeeDee Lamb. So they're scheming it up. They're doing some good things on offense. George Pickens caught a 43-yard touchdown in this game. Dak Prescott threw four touchdowns. And by the way, Dallas, number one in the NFL, 407 yards per game, number five right now in yards per play. This is one of the best offenses in the sport. Dallas, after its 37-point performance, 2-2-1, that tie could end up coming back to haunt them. I know it was the Jets, but it's a 15-point win against an 0-5 team. Now they've got Carolina this week, so they're going to probably get win number three. Then they play Washington. They may host the Commanders at 3-2-1 with a chance to catch the Commanders in 2 weeks in Dallas on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, to give you an idea how good that offense has been, Ryan Flournoy, I don't know how you say it.
That's whatever. The guy.
He would be tied for second in receiving yards for Washington right now. And Washington's offense hadn't been bad. Just to let you know how prolific they've been even without CeeDee Lamb. George Pickens has been really good. You know a meltdown's coming, but right now is the honeymoon period. He's been awesome. Jake Ferguson is a weapon in the passing game. They're doing this well without CeeDee Lamb. Dak Prescott's playing good football. Again, it hadn't been against the best opponents. That offensive line isn't the Cowboys O-line of a couple of years ago, but they're a pain in the butt. They're not a team that I relish playing at this stage because I think you said it. Their offense can move the football. Their offense can score some points against bad defenses. They've proven that. You know, it's a matter of can you outscore them in a given game given their defensive issues, but they're scary to me.
Giants football this past weekend was not a success. They lose to the Saints. They turn the ball over five times in this game with New Orleans. They probably should have won a second straight game. Instead, they are 1-4. Here's my Jackson Dart take. I want to see where you're at on this. I know he's going to turn the ball over and there's going to be some mistakes. He is a raw, flawed, neophyte kid under center on a bad team. He just lost his best weapon, Malik Nabers. The offense is now going through Wandell Robinson and Darius Slayton. They're also without their starting running back, so Cam Scadaboo's become their bell cow. It's not a particularly good group.
No.
Offensive line at best is average, probably worse than that. I watch him and I see shades of some Josh Allen stuff. I actually really, really like Jackson Dart. Didn't love him coming out. Wasn't convinced he'd be a good player. If I had to bet right now, franchise quarterback or guy that doesn't get a second contract, I'm betting franchise quarterback.
Interesting.
I love his starter kit. I think he looks really, really exciting. There's some Herbert, Drake May-ish kind of athleticism to him that I dig.
To me, I know it's ridiculous because we're talking about Giants quarterbacks, but he reminds me of Daniel Jones in a similar situation where the ideal was one thing. The reality is something very different in terms of what's around him. It's a beleaguered, beat up, bad off offense with no weaponry, not much to do. You're fighting for survival. It's either take a bunch of checkdowns, get made fun of, or try to make a play or two and turn it over. Sound familiar? The occasional big game maybe belies how good the guy might be. I think he's going to be in a rotten situation and might end up being branded as, you know, back end starter, you know, good backup, et cetera. Because I just don't see a way out of this. Like this prison that he's in. So once Daboll gets fired, once Joe Shane gets fired, it's now second offense, second coordinator, second everything. Maybe there's a chance that it's the right marriage coming up, but I just think going to this situation where those guys shouldn't be in charge of this org, and the fact that they are, it just setting you up for that bad journey, that bad carousel that all the bad organizations seem to talk about.
Yeah, I can double down on the referendum on the situation for sure. And if your point is he ends up having a Daniel Jones-like stay there, I would bet on that because what else is there? I mean, that's a second contract. That's a Pro Bowl, I think, along the way. That's some fleeting moments. He actually won a playoff game there. Like, that's a pretty decent floor. Otherwise, I'm sitting here saying he'll be a superstar in an organization that hasn't been good enough to allow a guy to become that.
Right.
But I'm just saying from a talent standpoint, if you looked at Daniel Jones this many games into his career versus Jackson Dart, Dart is way bigger talent. The tools are way louder. And just physically, I think he's a much more skilled guy in this era of football where we're looking for dual threats, where we're looking for guys where plays don't die because they can use their legs like Daniel Jones could. In that scrambling sense, this is a guy you can, like, he's big and physical. You can run power with him. You can kind of slam him between the tackles, short yardage stuff, like Josh Allen, goal line stuff. I think he's going to be a weapon. I like the cut of his jib. I like this player. We'll see if they can make it work with Brian Daboll. I think he will. This is Daboll's, of course, or the guy that got Josh Allen going at the beginning of his career in Buffalo. All right, I teased this, so let's get back to Jaden Daniels. So 20 games in now, he's at the 20-game mark of his NFL career, he eclipsed both the 4,000 passing yard and 1,000-yard rushing marks this past week against the Chargers. Danny, he's the first player in NFL history to go 4K passing, 1K rushing over his first 20 games. We all know what it's looked like. We've all talked about how special and unique some of his characteristics have been and his performances have been. But he has now done something through 20 games as a passer and a runner that nobody, not Lamar Jackson, not Josh Allen, nobody else has ever done before.
Surprising that nobody's ever done that.
I agree.
If you go back to, you know, the great Steve Young, I mean, I know it's a different era, but like Michael Vick never did that. Or, you know, you can name anybody that was a prolific runner and, you know, was able to spin the rock a little bit. But just kind of goes to show you that I don't want to say we're taking it for granted, but it's like every time you get one of those, hey, by the way, this league's been around for a while. They've been throwing the football for a couple of decades. No one's done that. No one has done this. So when we sort of look at some of the yardage totals or look at certain things with like, well, he ranks 9th or he ranks 14th. Just as a reminder, nobody has ever put this combination together through 20 weeks. Like, that's never happened before. That's just a nice little ring of the bell. Oh, yeah, that's right. This is so super special.
It also makes me wonder, what do those numbers look like if not for the month last year where he wasn't Jaden Daniels? I mean, he did this with almost a quarter of this sample, not quite, but let's say it's a fifth, you know, almost 20% or so of the time now of these 20 games where he could barely move.
Yep.
He was being wrapped on the sideline after every single possession. I think people forget. Go back and watch one of those games, how different he looked as not only a passer, that Eagles game on a Thursday night. Some of that was being confused. Give defense to credit to the defense and the defensive coordinator and the defensive plan. But like the Bears game, the Eagles game, the Steelers game, he had some really good moments and otherwise uneasy performances. The rest of the year is a completely different guy. So is that another couple hundred rushing yards? Is that another 200 passing yards?
Yeah, what does it look like?
He keeps some of those drives going? Who knows? But the numbers would be even more impressive. So to have done what he's done, despite injuries, despite playing through pain, despite a several-game stretch where he's getting treatment after every single drive and he's clearly not healthy, it makes you wonder, when this thing peaks, what does it look like? Because there's no reason to believe that in 20 games into his career, like, this is the best that it's going to get. He's only going to get more comfortable in an offense, theoretically. By the way, they're about to get McLaurin and Noah Brown back. He'll have, for the first time this weekend, hopefully, Terry McLaurin, Noah Brown, Deebo Samuel, now an elevated version of Luke McCaffrey and Jalen Lane, who just got to play a bunch and got better. Now he's got this running game that's the best they've had in years with Kroski Merritt, who just came on the show. Their yards per attempt and everything that they're doing has been fantastic. How good could this offense be?
Yeah, you think to last year, right, where it was Terry McLaurin or bust, and it was a lot of, you know, Olamide Zaccheaus and Dyami Brown, respectfully, and a running game that featured Brian Robinson. So I'll take this group certainly over that once they come back and are fully armed and operational. But like, give him a Detroit Lions skill group, or give him, you know, some of these elite groups of pass catchers and weapon running backs, and I would have loved to have seen it through 20 weeks. But yeah, and now, you know, with an offensive line that appears a little bit more solidified now that they've made a couple of tweaks, Sam Cosmi at some point is going to come back, and you know whether he's able to hit the ground running and start, or you just say, you know what, we're not going to rock the boat because Andrew Riley's doing well. Who knows? But all of a sudden, you're surviving this early part of the season where you didn't have a lot of practice time. There have been some injuries. You get through it, and all of a sudden, you become a little bit more dangerous as you go.
Football Conversations on the Fan are presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. In 20 minutes, you will hear from John Carlson of the Washington Capitals, one of the longest tenured athletes in D.C. sports. They open their season tomorrow. Next on Grant and Danny, Washington's got a defender who's among the league leaders in a bunch of categories, who's flying under the radar. That'll change in a moment on the Fan.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking D.C. sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Caps Bruins tomorrow. We're at City Tap House before the game. Come on out, 2 to 6:30. We will be there live on site, taking you up to Puck Drop at 7:30. I believe we've got a little Tobe for time. Special Caps preseason show tomorrow leading up to pregame with John Walton, Katie Florio, Ken Sabourin, and the crew. So looking forward to a night of Caps hockey on the Fan. John Carlson will be with us in just a couple of minutes. We're back, baby. It's time to get over to the arena.
It is time.
Ice cold temperatures with the ice looking unblemished and virgin. Just let's go.
Just so crisp and smooth. You can see your reflection if you're standing at the right angle. It still feels early to me where I've been hot outside and I got sunburned this weekend. And yet there's like hockey tomorrow. So I'm not quite ready, but I'm going to get myself there. By tomorrow night, I'll be properly prepared. It's time, man.
Yeah, I think this is probably it as far as the best time of the year, right?
October, dude. October.
Playoff baseball, week one of hockey. Let's run some basketball. What are we, 2 weeks away from the Wiz getting started?
Just about, I think, yeah.
NBA tip-off where they give you that awesome national TV triple header. That's really, really good. There's something on every single night right now. College football is taking over more days of the week. The NFL, is there a day where football isn't on in the National Football League at this point with their standalone games? This is as good as it gets. All right, speaking of which, I wanted to mention Dorrance Armstrong. So you and I talked about his playoffs where he got hot at the end of last year, 3.5 sacks in those three games. He's now up to 5 sacks through 5 games this year. He was leading the NFL through 2 games in pressures and pressure rate. If you look at his numbers now, Danny, he has already tied last year's tackles for loss number. He has already tied last year's sack count. He is through 5 performances this season, done what he did in 16 games last year in terms of some of the counting stats. He's even creeping up on like tackle totals and stuff. He has been way more involved, way more active, way more noticeable, and just more of an authority on that defense. Sacks in each of the first 3 games of the season. Then a 4-tackle game against Atlanta where he didn't have one, but he had a TFL, he had a quarterback hit. This week, 2 sacks. We knew going in,
yep.
Bad tackles, you got to win off the edges. There's no reason they don't. And he was the only guy on the team to get to 2 solo tackles. So now he's sitting on a 17-sack pace with 5, a guy that has never had more than 8.5 sacks. He is going to blow past that.
This is, as you said, a carryover from what he did in the postseason last year with 3.5 sacks. Now, the sack totals, you and I talk about this all the time. A lot of times people just go down to that number and they go, he had 9 sacks, he had a good year. Or he had 12 sacks, good year. 7 sacks, bad. Whatever you want to say. When the other numbers bear out what you're seeing, it supports that this isn't fluky.
Which numbers do you care about?
I love quarterback hits. That's,
I do too.
That's the one that I love. And now some of the more advanced ones, that you know, there'll be a pressure percentage here, win rate. I think that stuff's much harder to quantify, as we have no idea what the offense was trying to do. You know, like does a defensive end, I mean, this is flippant, but does a defensive end get credit with a win when there's read option and he's unblocked and he goes back and tackles somebody? Like those things are always hard to me. But quarterback hits mean you're right there. You're in the neighborhood. You affected the play in some way. Quarterbacks can still rise above and throw it despite being hit, but that's the one I care about a lot. You look at the tackle for loss numbers. Again, it's not just some, hey, he's back there every once in a while getting a Dennis Stubblefield sack where he touches the guy and you know waves at the scorekeeper hoping for a half. This is the real deal, and it's happening right before our eyes. So I thought that Dante Fowler role might be more Von Miller. It turns out it may just be internally. It may just be Dorrance Armstrong. And you know, the end of the season, into the postseason, maybe they found something. Who knows what's unlocked? But this has been awesome to this point.
He has had fewer plays than Daron Payne and about equal to Javon Kinlaw in terms of pass rush plays, where you're trying to get up the field and the quarterback's in the pocket throwing the football. And he has 6 more pressures than anybody else on the team. Now, that's not what you're paying Payne or Kinlaw to do, clearly. But it's in the case of Payne, specifically, I mean, that is a pocket pusher. That is a collapser. He's a guy that can get to the QB. So Dorrance Armstrong has 18 total pressures right now. Daron Payne has 12. And then, interestingly, Johnny Newton, Javon Kinlaw, and Von Miller all have 10. Would you have thought Johnny Newton has 10 pressures?
No, I wouldn't have thought that for either of those guys.
These are PFF numbers, for what it's worth. But those guys have 10 pressures of the quarterback. For the most part, those are hurries where you're just getting into the vicinity. 8 of Javon Kinlaw's, 8 of Johnny Newton's. So you're talking about quarterback hits. Now, only Daron Payne of those D tackles has 3 quarterback hits right now. Kinlaw's got 2, and Newton only has 1.
So typically, your best pass rushers in a given year will have in the mid-20s in terms of QB hits. right? That so sometimes that's 12 sacks, sometimes that's 17 sacks. And we go, wow, that's amazing. I mean, Trey Henderson, for example, last year had 36 quarterback hits among the league leaders, and that's kind of where he usually stays. The regular excellent, amazing, but still mortal pass rushers are in that mid-20s range, and he's got a chance to be right there, which is remarkable given the fact that this was a part-time starter in Dallas. Dan Quinn knows him. He'll be fine. Rotational piece here. We'll see what they come up with. They may have unearthed something, honestly. And it took a little while to get here, honestly. He was fine. Nothing wrong with what he was doing the first, you know, three quarters of the year. But again, that switch has been flipped, and he is a juggernaut at this point.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. So big development on the show. Based on a listener call yesterday, we've got a bet for Monday Night Football where if the Bears amass 350 or more yards, Ben Johnson calling the plays at the controls, I will be able to continue to talk about and play the Ben Johnson alert sounder for the remainder of the season. However, if the Bears go under 349.5 yards, I can't say his name anymore this year, and I'm not allowed to play the Ben Johnson alert sounder. I wanted to add one more wrinkle to the bet, if you guys don't mind.
Okay.
So I need an agreement or disagreement here from Toby, Ryan, and Darius. I think that if the Bears get over 499.5 yards, okay? So I'm going to say a 500-yard game.
A 500 burger.
They go for 500 yards. Now, remember, Ben Johnson went for 521 in the playoffs against Washington in a loss. 499.5. The chances of this happening are nothing, right? This is like a top 5 day in the NFL this season. You all have to get a cat and name it Ben Johnson. What do we think? Each one of you, all four of you, needs to get a cat. I'll buy you the kitty litter and the sandboxes. And you have to name your cat Ben Johnson.
Deal.
You're in?
Whoa.
I'm in.
Let's go. That's one.
I'm Toki. A cat guy, but because it's going to be named Ben Johnson, I'm out.
Toki. You think I want to give up the Ben Johnson sounder?
Look, I can come up with other things, but
have
I can't.
Have a little fun for
I
the show.
Look, man, if I'm at home, the words Ben Johnson should never be uttered. It ruins my day.
Okay, how about this? You have to get a puppy and name it Ben Johnson.
Well, I'm more a cat guy than a puppy guy, so I can live with the cat part.
Whoa.
He said that twice.
You can't say that when we're late to a break.
Hold on.
There's a lot to unpack there. I, when he said I'm a cat guy originally, I just dismissed it as a joke and... Like, Toby made a funny joke. I wrote it down in my journal and laughed about it later.
I'm a cat guy. Ha, ha, ha. LOL.
Do we need to unpack? We'll do it another time.
Yeah, man.
Put a pin in that, Darius. Next time we have a segment, I want to figure some more out about that. Okay, how about you don't have to name him Ben Johnson. You could name him Savant from UNC by way of Detroit.
No.
Okay.
No.
Darius, you getting another cat?
I can't live with another cat.
Can you just change your cat's name to Ben?
Sure. Yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll agree to those terms.
What's your cat's name?
Faith. So it's a female cat that'll be named Ben.
Ben Johnson.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Danny?
No new life forms in my home. No new life forms that I must care for will enter my domicile for the foreseeable future.
John Carlson of the Capitals is going to join us at about 6:10. They play tomorrow night. Commander Survivor, your last chance to vote right now. Facebook.com/Grant and Danny. Kick a player off the island. Give a player immunity. This is The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNC's apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.